Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Do names really matter in religion? You know, there's a popular idea in a lot of religious circles that there's nothing in a name. And when you speak religiously, why, whatever you're called is perfectly all right. Well, it's true that wearing the right name is not all that important to a lot of people. But the Bible teaches that names are important. Now, we're studying some lessons to help us to understand about the church that you read about in the New Testament. We're not concerned about churches that men have established through the years. We're concerned about the one that the Lord promised to build, the one of which He is the builder, the one He purchased with His own blood. And this notion that what name you wear is unimportant, that's not true in religion. That's not true according to the teachings of the Bible. In fact, it's not true in any other activity or realm of men. Nor do people believe that there's nothing in a name, even though they say it, because they all have different kind of names and they want everybody to be acceptable regardless of the name that they wear, and therefore they say the differences in names don't really matter. They say that in order to try to justify the denominational situation that exists. Well, friend, I contend before you that God evidently considered names important. In Genesis chapter 5, He called Adam by his name on the day that he was created. He gave the name to Abram of Abraham. He changed that name from one to the other. It must have mattered to him. He called Sarai Sarah. He called Jacob Israel. He gave all of those names. Did those names matter? Well, obviously they did to God. Do you know He even designated the name that John the Baptist was supposed to wear? He told his father Zacharias he was to be called John, and He specified the name that his son was to wear. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know, Christ was prophesied to have the name Emmanuel in Isaiah chapter 7. He was called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. All this is found in Isaiah 7 and 9. If you think there's nothing in a name, I contend, friend, you have a different viewpoint from God. Now, in other areas, we recognize the value and even the necessity of the correct names. This is true in business. It's true in naming your children. It's true with a name on a check or a trademark. Would you want to name your child Judas or Jezebel? Why, certainly not, because you know that names matter. If you don't think that names matter, just call your wife Fido and you'll find out that it matters. Why some consider names unimportant, it's not difficult to discover. It's because the religious denominational world has a wide variety of names, and in the desire to defend and to retain those unbiblical names and unbiblical churches, they've adopted the foolishness to contend that there's nothing in a name. But nobody really believes that. They don't believe it in themselves. They don't believe it religiously. The one that's a member of denomination A doesn't want to be called by the name of denomination B. Consistency, of course, is not very apparent among denominationalists. Now, while the church is not called by some kind of title in the New Testament, it is given several significant descriptions and identifications. Do you realize that more often than not, it's simply called the church? Just the church. After all, there was only one, as we studied in our last lesson. Why would we identify it with the divisive denominational terms? There's only one, and the church identifies the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the church is called the church of God. That simply means the church belongs to God. That's a possessive phrase. We've read several places where it's called the body of Christ and the house of God. In Romans 16 and 16, when Paul was referring to several congregations, we find the phrase churches of Christ. That means churches that belong to Christ. All of these terms simply show possession, friend. They show that the church belongs to God. It belongs to Christ. The church of the living God, that's found in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The church of the firstborn in Hebrews 12 and verse 23. You know, if there was only one automobile in the world, we wouldn't have to specify the brand of it in order to identify it. We wouldn't have to say Ford or Chevrolet or Chrysler or Buick or anything like that. If there was only one, we could just simply say automobile. And if there's only one, that specifies it. Well, since there's only one church that belongs to God, it is properly identified as simply the church, and that should be sufficient, and it would be sufficient, except men have organized and invented their own denominational churches to the confusion of the entire religious scene. Now, the redeemed people who make up the church, they're called saints, they are sanctified, set apart from their sins, set apart into the body of Christ, they're disciples, they are learners of Christ, and they wear the proper name Christian. Acts 11 and verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And that was a name that found apostolic approval. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian, when the apostle Paul preached, one said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, what kind of Christian? Well, he didn't have different kinds of Christians. He was just simply Christian. And by this name, we honor the founder, we honor the builder, we honor the foundation, we honor the Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian simply means one who is of Christ. The name was given by God. It was prophesied by Isaiah that God would call his people by a new name, Isaiah 62 and verse 2. And did you know that the word called, it was a term that is used there only by deity? Christian is not a derogatory name. It's not a nickname. It's a name that God gave to his people. Now, names that give distinction to men, like Martin Luther or John the Baptist or to various doctrines, certain kind of governments, anything else without biblical authority, some complain, oh, I see, you want the name Christian just for yourself. Friend, that is simply not true. And when I get through telling you about that, if you're honest, you'll never say that again. No, we don't want that name only for ourselves. We would that all people everywhere would be content to wear this biblical name and exclude the many divisive and unbiblical denominational names that men have accumulated to themselves. Is it not right to do what Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And when we call one another Christians, we're speaking as the oracles of God. It's not this kind of Christian and that kind of Christian and some other denominational kind of Christian. It's simply Christian. And one additional point with respect to wearing titles, that's the practice of a lot of clergymen, we need to listen to what the Lord has said. That sort of title wearing is without authority. It's contrary to the teaching of Christ. You see, we find from time to time those who must heap to themselves some kind of distinction as putting them above others in their particular church. And they have titles that sets them apart. It makes them somewhat. They are special. They call themselves reverend. and many other self-glorifying titles. Jesus said, "Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." Now, he wasn't forbidding calling our physical father, Father. He was speaking in a religious sense. And we're not to call men our spiritual father. Yet men will wear the titles of father. They wear the title of reverend that only applies to God. Can you imagine the Apostle Peter or Paul or James and John being called Reverend Peter, the Right Reverend Paul, the Holy Father John, or some other titles like men hoop to themselves today? Did not Jesus teach against the attempt to exalt oneself above others in Matthew chapter 20? And you know, even the term minister, that's not a title. And it ought not be used as a title. It simply designates one who serves. A preacher, simply just call him a preacher. That's the work that he does. That defines my work. I get disgustingly amused at some who harp against the church as being traditional, but they use descriptive terms as for the work as titles. They write about bishops and this elder this and pastor that. Well, the rage today is to be called doctor this and doctor that and doctor some other. This is a sickening mania among some to give everybody some kind of title. Well, the terms elder, brother, sister, preacher, ministers, etc., they define the work involved, but they're not titles. They ought not be used as titles. Job wrote, "Let me not, I pray you, respect any man's person, neither will I give flattering titles unto man, for I know not to give flattering titles." Job 32. We need more Jobs. Servants of God who work for him do not seek, nor do they allow, such things concerning themselves. Such then is the teaching of the Bible regarding the number of churches that Jesus built, and the identifications of the Bible that are used for that church. Oh, there's sufficient beauty in the truth. It ought not be marred with the ideas and the doctrines and the practices and the inventions and the ambitions from men. We have the privilege of conforming ourselves to the Lord's will and to be a part of His church. We ought to be busy in doing just exactly that. You know, we're so blessed to have the freedom to study the Bible and to be able to follow the Bible. The Bible teaches that Christ died for our sins, and He established His church. The Bible teaches that church came into existence, the first Pentecost after His resurrection and ascension. People became members of it by obeying the commands of the gospel. They did back then. No denominations whatsoever anywhere ever mentioned in all of Scripture. But we can be a part of that church that the Lord built, and that's where salvation is, because that church is the body of Christ, and those that are in Christ, they enjoy all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, and salvation from sin, remission of our sins, the hope and assurance of heaven, fellowship with deity. That all belongs to those who are in the Lord's church, His one church. And those who belong to that church, they're simply called by the honorable, apostolically approved term, Christian. Shall we not be content to simply be Christians without all of the human names and all of the human churches that men have devised? This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.